Yashoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharira Jamuna Tira Vanacharira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jana Valava Girivada Dari Gopi Jana Valava Girivada Dari Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanacharira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Biharika Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Stavastata Shri Shri Madhya's Divine Grace Abhay Charna Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Gangamai Ki Jai Shri Jamnamai Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Your Lordship, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. Your Lordship, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Your Lordship, Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Your Lordship, Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishinga Dev Ki Jai. Iskandu Raman Rati Dham Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 11, Chapter 22, entitled Elements of Material Creation, text 46. Is that correct? Ma swasva karma bijena. Jayate sapyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyutaha. Masasya karma bijena. Jayate sapyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyuta. Masasya karma bijena. Jayate sopyayam puma. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyuta. Please chant. Masasya karma vijena. Jayate sopyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyutaha. Masasya karma vijena. Jayate sopyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyutaha. Masasya karma vijena. Jayate sopyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyutaha. Masasya karma vijena. Jayate sopyayam puman. Mriyate vamaro brantya. Yatagnir daru samyutaha. Word for word. Ma.
Ma.
Does not.
Not.
Swasya.
Swasya.
Of the self.
Karma vijena.
By the seed of his activities.
Jayate.
Take birth.
Saha.
He.
Api.
Indeed.
I am
this.
Puman,
personality.
Mriyate,
dies.
Va,
or.
Amaraha,
immortal.
Brantya,
because of illusion.
Yata,
as.
Agnihi,
fire.
Daru,
with wood.
Samyutaha,
joined. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. A person does not actually take birth out of the seed of past activities, nor, being immortal, does he die. By illusion, the living being appears to be born and to die just as fire in connection with firewood appears to begin and then cease to exist.
Purport.
The element fire exists perpetually within the material creation, but in connection with a particular piece of wood, fire apparently comes into existence and ceases to exist. Similarly, the living entity is eternal, but in connection with a particular body, apparently takes birth and dies. The creations, the reactions of karma, thus impose an illusory suffering or enjoyment upon the living entity, but they do not cause the entity himself to change his eternal nature. In other words, karma represents a cycle of illusion in which each illusory activity produces another. Krishna consciousness stops this cycle of karma by engaging the living being in spiritual activities in the loving service of the Lord. By such Krishna consciousness, one can escape the illusory chain of fruitive reactions.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuromilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahaguna Raguna Tanvitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapcha Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhukale Shimati Shilo Vibhau Prabhu Ki Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pampajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Vibhau Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinyanini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Samadhani Pashyati Vichitani
Hare Krishna. So, today's verse appears more so in the latter part of the Uddhava Gita. So the Uddhava Gita consists of 29 chapters. This is the 22nd, so it's like into the last third of this Uddhava Gita. So when I looked at this verse, there's a question came to my mind. I have a tendency, before I look at the actual text, I want to know why this occurring at this time. I want to know like the circumstances under which, in this case, this verse is spoken. As we know, a similar description is given in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Dehino Asmin Yata Dehi, 2:13, which is the beginning, describing how the soul passes through from boyhood to youth to old age. So that's the very beginning, as we can say, the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna represents, you know, like a neophyte fallen soul getting knowledge. But in the Uddhava Gita, it's Uddhava is in his maturity.
of spiritual life. So why would Krishna be giving this knowledge to him at this stage? I want to ask the devotees here, all senior devotees here, can anyone give some particular reason or explanation, what you think might be some of the reasons why Sri Vikram Prabhu?
One reason was that he wanted him to take this knowledge to Bhadrakashram, to the sages, because I think Krishna said that he did not get to go there to meet the sages or something like that, but Uddhava can go and he could transmit the message. I mean, that was one, and of course Uddhava was asking questions himself, really, and this was in reference to the question he asked about material nature and the soul seems to be one.
Yeah. Can anyone else has any Mata Ragatmika?
Could be that the audience of conditioned souls always needs to be reminded of these basics.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other suggestions or any other reasons? So anyway, those two points are taken. And so it definitely means that, second class, okay. It definitely means that there's a valid reason for Krishna to give this knowledge at this time. And the main reason is that because Krishna is saying it. So because Krishna is giving it, it has to be that there is a complete purpose behind it. That why he would give this description at this time. Why not at the beginning of the Uddhava Gita or the beginning of, as he did in Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, one thing that what we can understand that with a devotee is that it's always good to know from where we came. Of course, after we came out of there, like if you have someone is drowning, it's not intelligent to, whilst he's drowning, to trying to find out how he's drowning, what caused it, and whatever. The very first thing he wants to do is to get out from that situation. If he gets out, then he can think about how come I got in, you know, and try to understand. But the first thing is to get out. So the example can also be given like a lion. Sometimes if you look at movies or so, or documentary of a lion walking, sometimes he would look back. Not to look back to see what he has lost, but look back to see what he has left behind, but he keeps going forward. So a devotee is also like that, that it's good to look back and to see where we came from or what knowledge we were lacking then and what we have now and move forward. So it's important. So even in one's maturity, of course, we always need to be reminded, because the nature of the soul is Kshara, Ksara. That means that it has a tendency to fall down. So because we have this tendency, then we always have to be reminded of this knowledge. Like Srila Prabhupada used to say that one should never stop his practice, whether he's a Paramahamsa or whatever stage. Srila Prabhupada himself, he never stopped. He always set the example of following sadhana, chanting his rounds, and do everything that he taught us. He never stopped at any point. Said, okay, you know, now I don't have to come to the morning program, or now I don't have to do this or that. I'm transcending those stages. So he never stops. So a devotee always have to be reminded of these things, and this can be one of the possible reasons too why at this stage that this knowledge is given. So as is described here earlier, I think in text 41, 42, somewhere there, that the different stages that the soul passes through, starting from impregnation, then gestation, then birth, old age, disease, and death. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries on these topics, he described that impregnation, he described it as sprinkling, like if one is sprinkling the seed into the soil. So that's the first stage of the soul getting in touch with the material body, impregnation. And then gestation, which is the development of the body within the womb that forms into the body from the lump of flesh and all of that. Then you have birth, or janma. And then you have, after that, the first 5 years is, he described that as balya. That's the youthful age, and we learned it from Krishna book of Krishna's balya. And then from 5 years, you have the first, when Krishna is just a baby, balya. Then you have kaumara. And this is also hinted in this 2.13 of Bhagavad Gita. Dehinu yas asmi yata dehi kaumaram yavanam jara. Kaumara. So that's the other age up to 5 years old. Then from 5 to 10, Pauganda, yeah, then you have Pauganda, 5 to 10, and then from 10 to 15, Kaishora, and 15 onwards is Yovananda, a Yovana. It's, that's the youthful stage, and Krishna never goes beyond that youthful stage. He always remains so. But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur described that for us, the human beings, that for one, we do not mature as quickly as Krishna does. Like, it's described like the normal Kaumara age goes up to 5 years. But Krishna passed through that at 3 years and 6 months. Then from his 3rd year and 7 months, he went into Pauganda. And by the time he reaches like 11 year and 3 or 4 months, he got into his Yovana stage, and he remains ever youthful. But for us, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that we go on. He described our Yovana stage from 16 years old to 45 years old. And the time when Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur made his commentary was somewhere in the 17th century, I believe, somewhere in that. And he was describing these, and this is when humans live for a little longer than what we are doing now. So he described that up to 45 years, and then from 45 to 60, you reach to a different stage and goes on from there. So anyway, these are some of the stages that one passes through. And because the nature of the living entity is kshara, the nature to fall down, and that we are also tatashta shakti, we are marginal, then it's very easily for us to identify with the material or the spiritual. Like if you go to the ocean, which, by the way, we're all going on Saturday. I hope you all come for the Ratha Yatra, and you can visit the ocean also. I don't mean to make announcements in the middle of the class, but it just happened to came out. So, if you go to the ocean and you see the water coming in, at different stage, the water will be at different stages, and up to where the water ends, from that going back into the ocean, that's considered the ocean. And from where the land starts, where you can see the land at the edge of the water, that's land. And that point there, that's the marginal point. But that changes daily. Sometimes the water recedes, and therefore the land takes over, or the water comes up, and the ocean takes over. So like that, the living entity is sometimes being taken over by the material energy, or sometimes being taken over by the spiritual energy. So once, because of our nature, then we always have to be very tactful and very careful about how we understand things, because we are in the material world here, which is the element and the advertising agency of Maya to show us around that everything is relating to the body. There's so much advertising going on all over the place, and everything relates to the body, how you can enjoy more, how you can be more attached, how you can be more greedy. And so once we are here, even though we have a little bit of a higher understanding, but the nature is there to affect us. I remember many years ago, my brother-in-law, he was working in the rum distilleries in Guyana. His job was to be in the middle of that, you know, that distillery. That's his job. And every day he's always drunk. Not because he's drinking it, but because he's just inhaling. Sometimes he drinks also, but the mere fact that it inhales. Actually, my family was there the other day, and the highway is right there. When you're passing on the highway, if your windows are down, you can get a smell. Is that correct? You can smell it. This is right there. Coming from the airport, you have to pass right there. So the influence is so strong that you're just passing, zoop, but you get a little scent of it, and it affects you a little bit. So similarly, with all, we understand that our life in this world is temporary, and that we're just passing through compared to eternal time. This 60, 70, or how many years we are here, or all the many, many lifetimes that we are here, is compared to just moments, you know, in comparison to the spiritual world. It's just moments. But within that moment, there are so many distractions that can grab us. So our nature is to identify with the skin and the flesh. And therefore, it's a little difficult. Depends on how much we surrender, of course. It's a little difficult for us to understand and to see the difference between our spiritual nature and how we are affected by the material nature. So it's not uncommon for devotees even to get affected. But if we get affected and lose our taste, then that's a different story. So, coming back to how, you know, in this material world, all the living entities, the spiritual living entities are there, and we're in the middle of this catastrophe of this material world, and we can go with the flow, and Lord Chaitanya described this in his teachings. He describes that you have, when you have a flow, a river going downstream, it's flowing so strong. But in this water, you have all different kind of sticks and obstacles and whatever. So Lord Chaitanya describes these sticks and obstacles as the living entities. And on the banks of this river, which is not always smooth, And sometimes there's curves and turns and a little different things here and there. So sometimes a stick may be towards the edge of the water and it may get hooked on the bank for a little bit. The ones in the middle, there's almost no opportunity for them to get hooked because they're in the middle of the water and the stream just flows down. So the living entities can be compared to that, like those who are in the middle of the heights of material life. Let's say like if you go to New York City, for example, everybody in this hustle and bustle, and you can see this kind of a high level of insanity. So, and if a devotee tried to approach them, it's a little more difficult because of, you know, there's so much caught in this cycle. But if someone is like a little more peaceful, so the peaceful ones are the ones are like compared to these sticks that are flowing in the river, but more towards the bank. And when they get hooked on these, like whatever obstacles might be on the bank of the river, it's described to be like when they get in touch with a devotee or when they get in touch with spirituality, that their progress in this rat race flow becomes checked, sometimes temporarily, sometimes permanently. So that is the intervention of a devotee, that when we get checked on the bank of this river, sometimes we might be checked for a little bit, we get a little bit of wake-up call, and then we decide to continue in the flow again, you know, of material life. But then we're already checked, so when our other buddies already, that who went straight past us, they're already like 10 miles away, we are now going behind. So our progress in material life slows up. And as we get more and more checked by the association of devotees, by the recognition of some hint that, well, our life is not meant for what we're seeing around us, then we're slowing up our progress. And as we slow our progress in material life, we're increasing our progress in spiritual life. Like it's always like a scale, you know, like these jewelers, they have this scale. Or if you go to the, I don't see it now, but in Guyana we used to have these kind of these grocery scales. You put your groceries in one side, and then you have to put some weight on the other side, and that's how you actually measure it. So if the weight is smaller, it's lighter, then your groceries tip the scale, that goes down and the weight goes up. So if you know, well, okay, it's not balanced enough, you have to put something more heavy. So material life and spiritual life is like that. If your material life tips the scale and increases, your spiritual life decreases. If your spiritual life increases, material life proportionately decreases. So this is how our life, our cycle goes in this material world, that as we get in touch with spirituality, and more so in particular get in touch with association of devotees, then our life gets more and more checked to such a great extent that we can be dragged out completely from this stream. How Lord Chaitanya is describing it, from this stream we get dragged out and we can get onto the bank, so we can permanently stay on the banks of the river and we can watch and see what's going on. So that's like one becoming a devotee. So, but one becoming a devotee basically means, according to Vaishnav standards, that you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles. And if one does that, we can guarantee a place back home, back to Godhead. But is that all that we would aspire for? For one, Krishna consciousness, as what this purport is explaining, that only when one comes to Krishna consciousness, then one gets out of this cycle, removed. But if one comes to Krishna consciousness and just stays stagnant, then it doesn't work like that either, because Krishna consciousness is a dynamic process. It never stays one place. You either go down or you go up. So it's important, and that we always strive with all we got in touch with the Association of Devotees. We had some initial faith, Adau Shraddha, then Association of Devotees, Sadhu Sangha, Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, we start practicing. So if we keep increasing, then we can move forward. And we can do so in a joyful way. So one thing, like we find many ways, sometimes Srila Prabhupada would trap his disciples by doing things in a jolly way. And I saw that a couple of years ago. I was in Guyana, I was assisting Bhakti Marg Maharaj with his initiation. He was giving the lecture and I was doing the fire jagya. So then he called up his, you know, the first disciple to be. And he just asked, and you know, he said, and this is in the middle of his initiation, he said, and the four regulative principles are, and everybody starts laughing and joking, and the whole place becomes so jovial. Like the way he presented it, and he's actually giving initiation, talking to his disciple to be, asking what the four regulative principles are. But he did it in such a jovial way that everyone feels so homely that you're not feeling that, okay, that now they're at a point where they have to, that they're sacrificing and giving up so much of material life. It's so blissful, the way he presented it, that it's so blissful that that devotee never really figured out, well, okay, you know, I'm coming to a higher taste here, or I'm giving up a lower taste. So that's the aspect of Krishna consciousness, that Srila Prabhupada gave us a process that it can be joyfully performed. And we can engage in such a way so that everything becomes joyful. Now that, you know, like when I first started growing up, when I was like about 6 or 7, this thought starts coming to my mind when looking around in my village where I was growing up and see the way people are behaving. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know, but I don't think this is the right way, you know, for a human to live. And then I start coming with that thought. And so as I grew a little more, my father used to be reading the Ramayana and the Gita every day. So I start to look at one, two things, and I got exposed to, like, you know, what these yogis are doing and how they have to meditate for so long and keep this all this stringent. I'm thinking, this can't work. This really not going to work. You know, how are you going to, you know, move from here and then go to this, that with this, that this kind of spiritual life doesn't really make sense to me. That you really have to be one out of a million to be able to have the facility or the determination to practice those things. But it wasn't until I came to Krishna consciousness and I find this very easy alternative per se, that where one can engage in spiritual life and constantly practicing, constantly taking the association of devotees, constantly try to make yourself good association so others can benefit, then our life becomes pretty easy. It becomes very easy, you know. So it depends on which eye we look with at things, then we can see the positive or the negative. Like my father used to say that the same tongue that you suck lemon with or lick lemon with or lime, that you can also suck sugar with it. So in other words, you can use it for a good cause or you can use it for a bad cause. It's up to you. So similarly, you know, we are in the material world here. We have these material bodies. We are here. This facility of this big advertising facade that of this material world. I know in my work, now the city of Gainesville is giving grants for those who have buildings within a certain area close by to the downtown area to do a new facade on their building, cover up all the old garbage, trashy looking, and just polish it up. So put this nice facade, and then people think, oh, this is a really nice building, but it covers all the old dirt under. So the material world is like that. It's just a big facade, and it covers you so much that you can't see the truth behind it. But a devotee, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, we are exposing ourselves to a great fortune that we can actually adopt a higher alternative. We have an alternative. We have better options. And we can take advantage of these options as one recognizes that we have this option. We can take advantage by sharing with others. This is the first thing that struck me when I came to Krishna consciousness. One of the very first things I read is that this knowledge is spiritual. And the more you give, is the more you get. And then the example is there that, like in the material example, if you have $10, you can't, you know, and you give $5 away, then you're only left with five. But in Krishna consciousness, if you give you have a spiritual $10 and you give five away, then you get 10 times more. So that's one thing that kind of struck me, because I think, well, okay, this is good business, you know. The more you give, the more you get. I remember we had one well-wisher at the temple. Every Tuesday, he would invite the devotees to go to his grocery store and pick up any amount of boga we want to maintain the temple. He did it for years. So sometimes I wouldn't be able to go on that day. So if I don't go on Tuesday, Wednesday morning, he's there knocking on the temple's door. What happened? Have I offended you that you haven't come to pick up boga? So we say, you know, well, we're kind of, you know, we were a little busy or something. He said, no, you can't do that, because every time you don't come to get boga from me, that next day, I'm not doing good business. So he said, you have to come. If not, tell me and I'll drop it. Because the more I give you guys, is the more I get. So even that way, he was engaging in spiritual life like that. So this is Krishna consciousness. It's dynamic. If you try to stay on one level, we would more than likely fall back. And sometimes even though like we're going forward, it's like, you know, when I was little, we used to have these trains that work with the firewood. I'm not sure if they work the same way here now, but when my dad used to show me, he said, you know what, don't let your life be like that. So you're showing, like if you look at the wheels of the train, it looks like it's going forward, then it's going backwards. Going forwards, it's going backwards. I don't know how it was configured, but if from the side, that's how it used to go. It's going forward, it's going backwards. But if you look at it carefully, it's kind of going like one step backwards and two step forward. So it's always moving ahead. But from a distance, it just looks like you're going forward, backwards, and you're not going anywhere. So if a devotee don't try to go forward, then he can eventually go backward. It's really hard to stay in one place because Krishna consciousness is dynamic. So once we're able to get out of this cycle as described in this verse, then we have a lot more to do. We have a lot more work to do for both our own lives and for the benefit of this movement. So we want to encourage all of you, and of course encouraging myself, to try to help in every way, shape and form we can to spread this to others. At least from me, who is seeing things from a business point of view, at least if I give, then I can get a little more. So, like with the festivals, for example, making a lot of sacrifices, a lot of energy, and so many people are getting benefits. So, anyway, I would like to stop here with these few points. If anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, we can take them. So, So Yamaraj Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class. In the beginning, you mentioned the soul is the soul is changing, and so it says in the Bhagavad Gita 2:20, the soul is steady, never changes.
Not to cut you, but I don't remember you saying that the soul changes. I said the body changes. Yeah, Shara, it has a tendency to fall down, but it doesn't change.
Okay.
There's a difference, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I missed it. I thought you said soul, you said Shara. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, the soul is addressed as Shara, which means it has a tendency to fall down.
The soul has a tendency to fall down?
Yeah. Yeah, and that sometimes in the spiritual world, it's there in eternal life, but it has a tendency to think, well, okay, I can enjoy separately from Krishna. So once that mentality comes, then he comes here to experience what it is to enjoy separately from Krishna.
In Bhagavad Gita 2:20,
yeah,
it's an elaborate purport. Prabhupada is explaining that the soul is steady. So are we differentiating between it sort of seems like it's a complex kind of
thing. Yeah, there's a difference. I think I can understand what you're saying. There's a narrow difference, but a very important one. It's the soul is eternal. Its nature is eternal. Its nature is to always be blissful. It's spiritual, wants to enjoy. It's always, because it's a part and parcel of Krishna. It's spiritual by nature. It has all these qualities, just as Krishna has, but in minute quantity. So because he has these qualities in minute quantity, then it can be affected. It doesn't change. His nature doesn't change, but its situation can change. So the situation is that it comes to this material world, and then it gets a particular body. And then after that body, depends on on what is developed or what's not. Well, for animal bodies, it just goes onto, there is like a regular cycle until it reaches the human platform, which is like a crossroad that you can stay there, you can go up, or you can go down. So the soul is trapped in these different bodies due to circumstance, but the nature of the soul remains the same. Like, even if you look, you know, an old man is, you know, 99 years old, and if you analyze him or her, you'll see that they're still looking to enjoy, they're still looking for some pleasure. So because the nature of the soul is pleasure seeking, so the eternal nature is there, but the situation changes. So there's a difference with that. I'm not sure if I'm explaining correctly.
So the soul, some souls are eternally liberated, and some are conditioned souls. So can you speak about why the soul is conditioned? How did that come about? How did the soul become conditioned?
Oh, I was just explaining that they become conditioned when, because they have this nature can fall down, sometimes they start thinking, well, I can enjoy separately from Krishna.
I understand that, but it seems like a contradiction there in terms of the verse that was saying that the soul is 220, and so the soul is steady. So I'm sort of a little confused on steady and then it's conditioned at the same time.
Yeah, I think there are two things what you're talking about. You're talking about the quality, and the other thing you're talking about the tendency or the situation. So there are two aspects there. They're kind of pretty confusing, very similar. Sometimes you can mix one with the two. So that's it. It requires a little kind of a little more in-depth study to understand the difference. So maybe let's go to Trivikram's question and then come to Stipati Muni. And then you can come back to the same. Yeah, okay. Seems like Stipati Muni Prabhu has the answer, so we'll wait that for the for the final. Okay.
You want to wait on my comment or you ask? a comment. Yes, nothing was okay. So I remember in the early days, I used to go by a village and preach, you know, and you used to come around, but you were just, you were working outside, so you never used to really surrender. You were just busy yourself doing nothing but that. But your brother, he came around, but he would do service, and he used to surrender a lot. But then if I were to compare the two of you now, like you were given the company, you got good association, you really surrendered at this point.
Uh-oh, I don't know
about with that. Him, his association was not like the best, and he is still, he's there, but nothing, you know. So this was like the example you were given earlier with the souls and depends on how they get association, and they could make more, so much advancement. So well, you're a good example there.
You're kind of bringing out my personal business here now, but anyway, let me explain. And you can understand, and to be honest, I'm really surprised that after, 30-some years, that somebody still thought about what went on when I first joined the movement. But what happened is that myself and my brother, we used to work at the same company. So then, he was older than me, so then he instructed me, said, you know what, you work and maintain our parents because, you know, we were the last two child and my parents were old, so, you know, we were working and to maintain. So he said, you work and maintain my parents and also help to maintain him that he would travel and preach and I stay home and maintain. So that was the circumstances under what that happened. So I was staying home to take care and then, you know, I can do whatever I can, and my brother, he was traveling with the Namhata party, and, you know, so I was helping to maintain him, maintain the Gurukul, maintain my parents like that, so.
So you were always surrendered?
No, I didn't say that. Yeah. No, I'm always announcing, not renouncing. Yeah. Okay, so Stipati Muni Prabhu.
By the grace of my iPhone, I have 220 here. And
yeah.
It says, for the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time.
Yeah.
You know, any soul. Apparently.
Yeah.
He has not come into being, nor he has not come into being, nor does not come into being, and will not come into being.
It's eternal. This verse says the same.
Well, you got a mic too. So here's where, here's my brain dead. Thank you. Here's where Yamaraj was. Sometimes the soul is called steady. So this is the purport.
Yeah.
So here's Prabhupada. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. Apparently, that's all of them. He undergoes no changes like the body. So this issue, in the context of this verse and purport, the changes are with reference to a conditional form. Sometimes the soul is called steady. So again, reference to that. The body is subject, on and on it goes. So the steady question here is with reference, comparison to the temporary conditional form, which is transitory. And then the other thing I wanted to throw out there is, when we talk about the soul, you know, and Prabhupada says the original condition is Krishna consciousness in his Hare Krishna address. So in its natural condition, there's still all kinds of desires. It's dynamic. It's not like it's steady like some impersonal Brahman buzz. You know, it's a very dynamic thing. But the essential quality of the soul being eternal, that's not transitory in the same context we would consider material conditional form. So that was a few thoughts, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for that. Because the thing about it depends on what level you're speaking. Then you can transition from a material level to a spiritual level. Even this verse here, the indication of this purport and the verse is that someone is grossly misidentifying themselves with the body. So then they're saying that this body is going through, and they're taking that they're going through the changes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so the body transforms, the soul doesn't, but the soul travels and it gets trapped. Just like if you're going out and your car breaks down, you have an old car. You don't have the ability to walk from here to New York, so you're depending on this car to take you, but then, you know, the car gets stuck somewhere halfway. So you're trapped there. It doesn't mean that you broke down, it's the car broke down. But if somebody calls you, hey, like sometimes I call my son almost every day, hey, where you at? Oh, I'm here. You know, or what happened? You know, something happened here. Or I call a friend, oh, I broke down on the way. He doesn't mean that he broke down, it means his car broke down. You know, so, but sometimes we use those kind of concepts to understand the, you know, the actuality. So that's why reading, when we're studying this, I think I discussed in one of the classes, that whenever we're studying the Bhagavatam, we have to understand the circumstances and the context under which this knowledge is being given. So that's why we have like three, Baladev Vijayabhushan describes, Sridhar Swami describes that when one approaches knowledge of the Bhagavatam, we have to understand it from three different categories. One is mukhya, means direct speech, that you see, you mean exactly what you say, that this is wood and this is exactly what I mean, it's wood. So you have mukhya, then you have anyway, the two more, but one that if something cannot be direct, then the next stage is mukhya vritti, lakshana vritti, and gaunya vritti. So mukhya vritti means exactly what it says there. You speak exactly. Then lakshana vritti means that something is implied. Like, for example, we say that one lives up the river. We don't mean that he lives on the water itself, but he lives probably on the bank of the river. So you can use that term. And then you have the other one, Gaunya Vritti, like how we would describe Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj as Narasimha Guru, you know, lion guru. We don't mean that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is a lion. We mean that his fierceness of preaching and boldness is that of a lion. So if anyone reads that without having the proper concept, you said, oh, your great grand guru is a lion. But that's not what it means. So at every step, we have to understand like the Vedic knowledge from the perspective and understanding and the guidance of the acharyas for us to get the correct understanding. So I would like to close here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.